Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we bring you the first of two interviews I conducted at Citrix Synergy this year, this one talking to Craig Stillwell, Global Channel Chief for Citrix. You may remember the big news out of Synergy this year was a revamped Citrix workspace, which aims to create a single feed for all of an employee's cloud and SaaS-based apps and tools, and basically streamline the workforce. As Citrix tells it, they believe that doing so can buy back one day a week of productivity for the average employee, so the stakes are pretty big if Citrix is right. I sat down with Craig to break down the opportunity around the new workspace. How big it is, what kind of partners he sees the company's working with on it, why it's the most exciting thing he says he's ever seen come out of the company, and why it'll reach a much broader audience than the company's app and desktop virtualization offerings. We also get into the company's plans for recruiting and training partners around Workspace, the transformation of Citrix and its channel towards subscription revenues, and much more. So let's get right into it. It's a great chat, my interview with Craig Stillwell. To throw it open, obviously, a lot of the focus today was on Workspace and where that's going.
I guess
before I get into some specific questions around that, what do you see as the partner opportunity around the evolution of Workspace?
Right. I mean, the partner opportunity and just the opportunity in general is massive. I mean, this is my 21st Citrix Synergy. And I would tell you this is the most exciting thing that I have ever seen come out of our company. And so, you know, we've been talking for a while about, you know, as computing has really evolved with so many of these SaaS-based applications out there, and, you know, people use so many of them, like, every single day to get their job done, the need for app and desktop virtualization isn't as big as it used to be. And so we estimate that 25 to 30% of the employees in any given organization have a really, really strong use case for app or desktop virtualization, right? And so we built a really nice business off of that 20 or 30%. But the reality is there's another 70% of employees there that face some of the same challenges, you know, that we were originally solving with app and desktop virtualization. And so when you look at the proliferation of all these apps, you know, what ends up happening is you need to switch from app to app in order to get things done. It's tough to know what your to-do list is, right? So in my own job, you know, I'm often the last stop of approval for anything, you know, whether it's your expenses, whether it's to get a PO out the door for a marketing event or a partner event, whether it's an organizational change. All these things are waiting for me to go into some application, go into the depths, you know, read about it, click approve, and I don't even know it's there sometimes, right? And so I end up holding up work, and, you know, the workspace evolution has really given us the opportunity to guide work and to work more intelligently to, you know, get me out of the complexity of all those apps from having to switch from this to that, from having to be an expert in so many different apps. And it gives you really one-stop shop to, you know, begin your day, quickly get those things out of the way, and get to the meat of what you need to be able to do to work with your team. And so, you know, the opportunity for partners is tremendous in that, you know, we're opening up a whole new opportunity for people to go after. And the opportunity is one that I think is going to be relatively services rich. So, you know, for the partners today, you know, there's a lot of services around the product suite that we had coming into this event. But as we develop these you know, we roll out this intelligent experience with these connectors and the micro apps for all of these different applications, some of them are going to work right out of the box. Some are going to require more configuration, and some you're going to build an entirely custom, you know, connector or micro app, you know, for a given situation. And what's more, as users begin using the workspace to get their job done, they're going to want more and more in there. And so it creates sort of an ongoing opportunity to, you know, just make the work better for their customers. And so, you know, those are all good sort of the nuts and bolts for the partners. The other piece, though, is, you know, this work, you know, increasing employee productivity gives the partners a more strategic seat at their customers' table. And so if our goal is to give back, you know, one day a week in productivity to employees, and that's a huge, huge uplift, you know, for their customers. And, you know, it's the ultimate difference maker for the customers, right? So I think the opportunity for partners is incredible.
A lot of that seems to be around perhaps more software development type roles than perhaps we've seen in the past in the Citrix channel.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to what you see sort of in the traditional channel?
Yeah.
For Citrix in that regard, and additionally new types of partners this might open the door for
you. Yeah,
you
bet, because it's really both.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I think way back in my own personal history, I came from that sort of software development consulting kind of role. And I would call this software development light. So, you know, for the connectors that come out of the box, you know, our traditional Citrix partner is going to be able to handle that no problem. For the connectors where you need to, you know, customize or create a customized experience, I'm finding that a lot of our partners have some of these skills either in-house or they're already working on other projects with development houses where they kind of, you know, work with each other.
Sure.
And so those relationships are going to, you know, flourish here. So I think there is opportunity for new partners, and there's an opportunity to sell differently as well. You know, when we were acquiring this technology and building it out ourselves, when I saw the demo, like, man, I would right now I would give up some of my department budget in order to get that into my, you know, for myself, for my staff, for everybody to be able to use to be more productive. And so I think there's an opportunity to sell to different buyers, you know, outside of just IT. There's an opportunity to sell the line of business who are really going to get the benefits out of, you know, this workspace experience. And so, yeah, there's a big opportunity for new partners, for partners that are born in the cloud, for us to tap different partner ecosystems. So, you know, there's a different breed of partner that's out there installing all these applications.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're naturally going to be able to bring that benefit and bring those buyers. And so but it's funny because I see some of those partners coming together in the marketplace by themselves anyway, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so it's, I guess the answer is yes, all that, right? The existing partners, it's great because we have a big install base, we have a big brand, you know, we're bringing more to the table now. I think you'll see a lot of new partners coming in, though, as a result of this.
We've heard Q4 for launch of the new workspace experience. I expect partner training and enablement and that sort of thing will ramp up leading up to that.
That's right. And so we've started already with a group of about 50 partners all over the world that we're giving, you know, a higher level of sort of white glove, you know, partners that have been with us for a while, partners that have some of the skills or have the relationships with those other partners of theirs to be able to pull off this development or development light. But we're going to roll out, you know, a sales and positioning training, you know, immediately following this event. And we'll do that through a series of, you know, in-person events, webinars, and also online training. And so we're going to start there. And then as you get to the latter part of, you know, Q3, we'll get more and more in-depth and hands-on with the technology on the technical side.
So it's starting pretty early.
It really is.
With potentially a 5 or 6 month
kind of
ramp.
And so one of the first steps is just to get that demo in the hands of the partners, right?
Right.
Because once you see what this, you know, what the capabilities are and how you'd use this throughout your workday, you can tell right away how it's going to add productivity, how it's just going to be easier to use. So I think that demo capability is, you know, number one priority, and we're already ramping that up. So,
As we drill more into analytics, and that sort of seems to become more and more important in the portfolio and across more parts of the portfolio, how do you find the level of awareness or skill set around that sort of data science requirement that's necessary to make use of some of this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the nice thing is that you certainly don't need to be a data scientist to pull this off, right? So we've done a lot of that for you, right? And so you saw in the demos today how, you know, we're going to continue to have the analytics platform that we had before, but we're adding to that really end user performance analytics as a part of the, you know, the overall value. That tells you ultimately like how productive an end user is. You know, it's not just the return trip or the technical bits and bytes on, you know, what's happening at the end user, but it's really what is their experience like. And so we put a score on that, and using that score, you can determine, you know, where am I having bad user experience, and then you can use that to dig into why and fix it. And so a lot of the magic has been done, you know, by us behind the scenes. And, you know, we're doing that by getting a lot more information from some of our partners, like Microsoft. And so you saw how they're feeding us information now to feed that analytics engine as well. And so I think it's the kind of thing, you know, back to your question on the last one, it's the kind of thing that our existing partners should be able to do very, very well. to help, you know, manage their customers.
There was some talk in the Q&A today about just the sort of the balance of business that's moving towards subscription and that sort of things. And then obviously that's the direction for
it's exciting.
Yourselves, for many of your partners in their own businesses.
That's right.
Can you speak a little bit to how you see the programs, the partner programs overall evolving as that journey continues and sort of the service side of things becomes a bigger part of
business? You bet. So we revamped our entire program at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we started over with a blank sheet of paper and we said, hey, we are moving to the cloud. We are moving to a subscription-based business. And our partner programs were not developed with that in mind. You know, we basically had five different programs that had kind of stacked on top of each other over many, many years. And each of them, you know, was designed to do a certain thing, which it did very well, but it was not built with cloud in mind. And so we basically started over. We simplified the program. We made it easy for partners to understand, you know, where they were in a given transaction. And, you know, we moved more incentives towards the cloud, which was not a secret. You know, as a result, we doubled the percentage of the business that is now subscription-based, you know, during 2018. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, definitely a part of that was the underlying programs. Additional components in the programs, you know, are aligning driving value for the customers, in other words, driving usage and utilization of the services that the customers have signed up for, making sure those things are being used by the customers, and, you know, we're providing incentives to drive that behavior as well. And so I think we've got the right program in place. We've made the program very modular, and so if there are things we want to, you know, move up or move down, we can do that within the construct that we have. And it's right in the partner's face. It's simple for them. They know where they're at any given point in time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the incentives are aligned basically to do the right things for the customer. Mm-hmm. So the quicker and the more value you can drive for the customer, the better it is for the partner. So I think we've got the program right, at least for the foreseeable future. But it was a lot of work last year to pull that off, you know? Yeah.
So obviously, the whole experience thing will be a big part of it, but what other sort of greenfield areas, or, you know, what are some of the biggest untapped or underrealized opportunities for your partners right now in your estimation?
Yeah, I think, and obviously the big one is what we've been talking about all along, right? This workspace experience, mm-hmm. and the intelligent experience within the workspace to get to those other 70% of the users that don't necessarily need app and desktop virtualization. One of the other areas of our business that is one of the fastest growing right now is our Citrix service provider business, which is basically a consumption-based model for people who provide a service to their customers that is delivered on top of Citrix technology. And so, you know, these partners of ours are out there selling something that may have nothing to do with Citrix. It just happens to be delivered, you know, using Citrix technologies. And that's allowed us to reach into a customer set that we were never able to touch before, like the really, really small part of SMB. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I know of one of our partners that has an application that is sold to very small dentist offices, you know, where they're selling, you know, seven licenses at a time.
Yeah.
And they're using Citrix to deliver that. So you can imagine during the sales process, they're not talking about a lot of technical bits and bytes. They're talking about, you know, how do you run your dentist office?
Yeah.
But, you know, our legacy partners, you know, would never be interested in selling seven of anything to anybody, right? But, you know, because we've got this service provider model now, we're able to reach further down to the stack, further down to the customer base, which in my mind is the launch pad for us as we get into this Citrix managed desktop that sits on top of Windows Virtual Desktop, right? Because it's the people that, you know, aren't interested in managing all of that mess. You know, we'll take care of it for you. We'll manage it inside of our cloud. And I think that's, you know, the big untapped opportunity outside of this workspace for everyone that we've been talking about, right?
That is potentially a long, long tail of partners that could fit in that space.
Gosh,
where are you at in sort of reaching that community and getting penetration?
Yeah.
And am I correct in thinking of these partners are more... I would categorize more as almost a sell-to partner rather than a sell-through kind of partner.
That's right. That's the right way to think about it. And so I think that Citrix Managed Desktops will play a place in big enterprise as well. So I've had big enterprise customers that come to us and say, hey, listen, for this use case, these offshore developers that only use these two tools, like, I don't want to manage the the desktop OS. If you guys could do that, you know, carve this off and you do that, I'll let you do that. But I think the opportunity is more as you go down the stack, you know, for that customer base. And I think that's where it fits.
All right. So other than gearing up for the launch at the end of the year, what are kind of your priorities? What are you focusing on for the balance of the year?
I mean, the big one is getting Workspace out there and doing all the enablement that we need to do and making sure we're enabling our partners to be able to tell that story, to be able to implement the solution, you know, and have good success. That's the big one. Other than that, you know, we're going to continue the motion that we've had all year, which is moving towards Citrix Cloud. Yep.
Partners are would you say partners are sort of in lockstep with you or on that journey, or is there still some momentum to be made in that changeover?
We definitely had a nice set of early adopters. I mean, as you can see in the results, right, when mm-hmm. we moved so much of the business so rapidly, you know, well ahead of plan to a subscription-based model, but not everybody came with us right away. And so I feel like for those, second-tier adopters, mm-hmm. the wave has caught up, and they're on board. They see the value that we're delivering in Citrix Cloud, and we continue to move more and more of the business that way. Is kind of the proof in the pudding, right?
Mm-hmm. What are the tools or supports that are there, especially for partners who are coming from a more traditional kind of background? They're used to sort of the big project, you know, win it, land it, stab it, kill it, and move on to the next thing
right.
kind of approach, as opposed to sort of the more farming nature of subscription.
Yeah. I mean, so what's the partners that have really flourished here are the ones who have figured out how to put longer term, sort of managed service style contracts around these moves to the cloud. And so certainly our partners for a long time, if you were doing some Citrix stuff, they'd say, hey, listen, let me take care of that for you in your data center. And they had a certain amount of uptake on that. But when an end user customer says, hey, I want to put something in the cloud and I don't want to own it, I don't want to manage it, I want somebody else to do that for me, the uptake on managed services on top of that, you know, maintaining your environment goes up dramatically. And so, you know, I think being able to take advantage of that has been great for the partners that have been able to do that. The caution I would throw out there is you go into a managed services business, and there's a big investment to make in the upfront, right? And it's not until you get, you know, a critical mass of customers that it starts to become a really viable business.
Yeah, year three looks great, but the problem is year one and two.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it's really, you know, when I've got the best resources that are able to, you know, take the best care of a solution, but I need to spread those resources across multiple customers and able to create that scale, right? And so it's really not until you get some of those sold that it catches up. And so, you know, my caution is, you know, be careful. Don't get out in front of yourself. Don't overinvest too early, because there's also a lot of tools that you want to be able to run that business. And so, but the ones who have you know, been very measured in their path there have come along really nicely.
What role do you see Citrix playing in kind of supporting partners as they make that transition, and how do you see that kind of support evolving over time?
Yeah, I mean, so we continue to do training and enablement on how to pull that off. You know, so Citrix Professional Services has a very small managed service offering, and basically we do that to know how to build it, what tools do you need, what does success look like, and we share that information with the partners. And so the biggest of our largest customers that really want Citrix skin in the game and want us to supply that to them, we do. But, I mean, that organization is so tiny, and we take the learnings from our biggest, most strategic customers, and we lay it out, and we say, hey, here's the recipe for how to do that, right? So we're pretty involved in helping our partners along that journey.
All right. Great. Top of mind, kind of the territory I want to cover.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to throw out there about the partner community?
I mean, like I said, I mean, this is the most exciting time that I've ever seen at Citrix. I mean, the workspace opportunity is very real. And, the excitement is palatable when you show a customer, you know, what this does and how it can really increase employee productivity is really exciting. So, that's the thing that we're really laser focused on right now. Good time to be at Citrix.
Brilliant.
Good.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
There you have it, all about Workspace and much more from Citrix's Craig Stillwell. I'd like to thank Craig for taking the time to chat, thank Citrix for having me out to Synergy this year, and thank you for listening. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back on Thursday as we continue this conversation with new Citrix Canada boss Ed Rodriguez. As well as getting his thoughts on the workspace opportunity in this country, I chat with Ed about his time in Canada, how he's adopted to the new role, and what partners can expect from him and from Citrix Canada over the rest of the year and beyond. In the meantime, we'd appreciate it if you take a moment to leave us a rating in your podcast app of choice. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast in either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.